Good morning. Giving honor to God in the reading of His holy word. James, 3rd chapter, 1st through the 12th verse. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May we pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for the great messenger, Jesus. And thank you for the messenger and ministry of Pastor Joseph. We ask now in your holy name that we continue to worship in spirit and in truth, and that your messenger would bring us a message that we can live on, that we can be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You have heard the expression, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. How can you watch your tongue? How can you look at your tongue? Well, actually it means, and this is my interpretation of that statement, is that watch what happens when you use your tongue unwisely. Watch and look at the consequences of what you say. Watch a family be destroyed. Watch a fire start that starts. Watch at a nation that collapses because you could not control your tongue. And I believe that we all are guilty of that sin, the sin of using our tongue for bad and not to glorify God. The tongue is a little member of the body that has limitless and awesome power. What we cannot do with guns sometimes, and what we cannot do with lawyers, we can do with our own tongue. We can destroy the reputation of someone, or the reputation of a school, or the reputation of a country. The tongue can start wars, ruin friendships, and bring down nations. It has destroyed more reputations, families, churches, and driven more people out of Christian churches and ministries, and it has caused more harm than any other weapon in the world. There are more people today outside the church. There are more people today that hate the church. There are more people who have turned against the church because someone gossiped about them, because someone's tongue did say something that destroyed his reputation or his or her reputation. Or maybe because this individual heard so much gossip in a church, so much hatred in a family's discussions, that left the church completely and turned his or her back to to the church and God. That is why the first 12 verses of James 3 deal with the tongue, as do many other verses actually in the Bible also that deal with this, with the tongue. Just as an old-fashioned doctor starts his examination by looking at a patient's tongue to help diagnose the problem with his patient, James tests a person's spiritual health by his or her conversation and sins of speech. The same tongue that preaches here may go out and start gossiping. The same tongue that says love your brother may go out and spread rumors and gossip about other people. This I've heard once a messenger or an evangelist who came to preach, and after preaching we had to take him to the airport. And it was very interesting how the whole message that was so good collapsed when he turned to his wife and in his own language that I could understand, cursed her. Hypocrisy is something that we all are guilty of often enough, and we don't realize it. It's interesting. I don't know whether they still do it now or not. The doctor here will tell us. When I used to go as a child to a doctor, he would say, stick out your tongue. And he would look and say, oh, you got this or that. And it seems that the tongue reflects what's in there, spiritually speaking also. The modern saying, watch your tongue, it is in a wet place, what it's easy to sleep describes the tongue so well. Watch your tongue is in a wet place and very easily can slip. Is when we don't watch our tongue. And I'm as guilty as anyone else when it comes to trying to control my tongue and the way I express myself. And often, if not often, at least there have been times that I, because I'm very emotional and because I wanted to defend something, a scripture, a truth or something, I just jumped up and said something that hurt the feelings of those who were there or someone who was there. And because of that, then I had to go back and make things right and to fix that. And it does take more effort to fix something that it was so easy to start. Just a negative word, a gossip. The gossip is something that is so easily said. And it even gives pleasure to the person who gossips. And yet, we often don't realize what kind of harm it does. Listen to the same tongue from I love you to I hate you. From I am willing to spend the rest of my life with you to it's over or I can't stand you anymore. And again, when I do marital counseling or premarital counseling, I should say, I always discuss this with them. Do you really love the person or you think you love the person? Or you say you are in love with a person. Are you willing to stay with that person even when things get worse or bad or some things don't work well? And they all promise, yes, Pastor, I will. We have made a commitment. We'll stay together until the end. A couple years later, they are divorced already. So our commitments, our tongue says things that our heart does not necessarily mean them. The power of a tongue is compared first to bits in the mouth of a horse. Even though the bit itself is a very small piece of steel, yet a person can control that bit, with that bit, the body of a huge horse. So it is with the human tongue. It can direct the life of the person, either for good or for evil. Then it is compared to a rudder of a ship. A rudder is very small, and yet it controls the direction of a huge ship. The third example of the power of the tongue is fire. A small spark or lighted match may start a forest fire and destroy whatever comes its way. To illustrate the power of a small match or spark, let me give you the example of the great catastrophe in Chicago in 1871, and many of you know the story already, I'm sure. It started when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern which fell into some hay, and the hay caught on fire, and the fire spread and burned for 3.5 days. 3.5 square miles of the city was destroyed. 300 people died, 100,000 people were homeless, 17,500 buildings were destroyed, and the property destroyed valued at $175 million, and the cost to the city was over $400 million. Only a small fire, a small flame did all this. The tongue is like a small lighted match, or a turned-over lantern. Its potential to destroy is limitless. The tongue destroys. One careless word can set the whole course of life on fire. Families are torn apart by uncontrolled tongue. And again, I've heard of stories where someone gossiped about someone else. And a good example is what we see or what we perceive to be. Something may not necessarily be that. You may see a young married man with children in a restaurant sitting next to a beautiful looking woman and holding hands and talking nicely. And right away you get on the phone and you start calling your friends and saying, please pray for such a... For this person. Why? Because he's cheating on his wife. I just saw him in that restaurant holding hands with a beautiful woman, and I know we should pray. And actually, the idea is not the prayer. The idea is the spreading this news around. And eventually, you realize that this young lady was his sister who had just come to visit him. And yet, you want to take back all this gossip, and you can't. It's like taking feathers up on the rooftop of your building. Take your pillow, just open the zipper, and take these feathers and just spread them in the air. And then you say, oh no, I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to collect them all and put them back into the pillowcase. And go and find those feathers. You can't. You'll never find. You may find some, but most of them are gone. That's how it is. Gossip and this tongue can destroy. I have been preaching this to me for a week now, and still I had difficulties in controlling sometimes my tongue, and I have to be very careful. So you can imagine every one of us has this problem, but it has to be controlled, or else it can destroy. Tongue carries all kinds of destruction. And the careers have been destroyed. Words spoken or written in anger or whatever other reasons may destroy a family or people. And you say, sometimes we say, well, I never say anything terrible. I control my tongue. And yet you may get on your computer and write a letter to someone. Or you may sort of send a message to someone, or write a letter, and it does the same exactly thing. the tongue is not this little bit of meat that is in our mouth. It's the heart, and it's the mind, and it's the attitude, and it's the lack of love, and the lack of spirituality that makes that tongue do whatever it does. In anger, or whatever other reasons, must be dealt with immediately to restore peace and relationship. Harsh words spoken or written by Christians to one another must be dealt with in love and respect. In James 1:26 we read, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." Board meetings, congregational meetings, group meetings, etc., can be full of deadly poison. Critical and uncontrolled tongues have closed churches, and churches' doors have shut permanently because of the tongue. We must never allow negative or critical words to pass our lips, but if it happens, it should be dealt with it. We should deal with them right away. In Proverbs we read, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." We also read in Proverbs 18:21, "The tongue has the power of life and death." The psalm writer in Psalm 57:4 compares the tongue to a sharp sword. It says, "I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." Apostle Peter, writing to the believers, he said in 1 Peter 3:10, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." James puts it this way, "But what do we say?" My mother, to emphasize the powers of a tongue, would tell us a story. And that was repeated in our family circles, and I've shared it here before, but I think this is another occasion that I can share it again. There was this man who had been convicted to die by hanging, and the reason was because he had stolen things before, and finally he had committed a sin, or he had committed a crime that deserved hanging. And he was taken to the gallows, and he was about to be hanged. And they asked him, "Is there anything you would like to say before you die? We hang you." And he said, "Yes, yes, please. I'd like to see my mother. I'd like to say something to her." And they just brought his mother to him, and his mother came. And she stood up there, and everyone is watching and wants to hear what he has to say. And he says to his mom, "Mother, I would like to ask you something." She said, "What?" "Would you stick out your tongue? I just want to kiss it." And not knowing what was going to happen, she did. And he bit off her tongue. And they grabbed him and said, "What did you do? Why have you done that? That's terrible." And he said, "Well, it is because of that tongue that I'm here this morning." And they asked him, "Why? Why do you say that?" "Well, when I was a little boy, I went and I stole an egg from the neighbor's, from the neighbor, and I brought it to my mom, and she looked at it, and she said, 'Oh, that's a nice egg.' And now she liked the idea, and then the next day I did it again, and every time I brought her something, she would encourage me, and she would say, 'Well done,' and then eventually I start doing other things, and she never told me not to, and the only reason why I'm here is because she encouraged me with that tongue, and now I would like to repay her." Well, again, this is a terrible story. It sounds fake and all that, but it makes the point that they wanted to make. We often think that our words are unimportant, but the wrong words can direct the listener into the wrong paths. An idle word, a questionable story, a half-truth, or a deliberate lie could change the direction of a life and lead it to destruction. But the right words given by the Holy Spirit could direct a soul out of sin and into salvation. The wonderful possibilities of God, of a God-controlled tongue, can be awesome. With our tongue we praise the Lord, James says. We confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus said. We become his witnesses. How? By teaching a class, training our children in the ways of God. And I've heard parents say that we have given freedom. We will let our children decide what religion they want to follow. We will let them choose on their own. And yet the Bible says very clearly that we must train our children. We must show them the way. We must encourage them. And if we don't believe in our way, or in the way that we believe the Bible says, then we should not practice it. But if we really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is heaven and hell, and if we believe really that someone has to accept God in his or her life, and if we really believe that our children should be brought up in the way of God, and yet we say that we are going to give them the choice, then it only means that we're not very sure about our own faith. We're not sure about hell. We're not sure about heaven. But we're practicing it anyway, because if you are sure of heaven and hell and you don't warn your children, that means that is you're committing a crime. By speaking a tender word to a troubled soul. And I've seen more people changed within 10, 15, 20 minutes. When I get phone calls after our radio program with people who are ladies or gentlemen who are going through a very difficult situation, mothers who will call me about their children, or fathers will call me about their own situation and with tears. And after talking with them and praying with them, I realize they have already been encouraged, and they will tell me that, thank you, Pastor, I really needed this. So the tongue can help someone be restored and encourage someone and help that person find some comfort. By speaking a word of peace between enemies, by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I know some of you, when they are going through a difficult period of time, you start singing. And I believe that has helped many. Helps me, for example, when I'm really in a mood that is not that pleasant, and I don't want to sort of get my family involved in my own spiritual situation or whatever that may be. I start singing, and what I sing helps me, so that means that can help others also. Psalm 71 verse 8 says, my mouth is filled with your praises. God has changed the tongues and lives of many in the Bible, and he still changes tongues and lives today. An anxious heart, Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Romans 12:1 says, Apostle Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. That includes our tongue. Our tongue is something that can save someone from hell and direct him to the Lord and help him. Or the same tongue, or a tongue can bring out someone from a family and lead him or lead her into destruction and hell. When we sing, "I surrender all," all must include also our tongue. It may be the most difficult thing to surrender to God, but we must if we are His disciples. And again, someone may say, "Why did you preach this year about tongue?" And I believe that this is something that we have neglected to deal with in the past, the tongue and our attitude and our conversations and our letters and our comments and our comments on the internet or a website or Facebook or in our letters or in our conversations at the office. We don't watch what we say. The Bible says even an idle word spoken may be a sin. So let's watch our tongue. If we don't watch our tongue, then we will watch what happens when our tongue speaks and when our tongue says things that may destroy others, us, and where we live, our community. Let us all prayerfully ask God to help us deal with our emotions, with our thoughts, and obviously the tongue will respond to our emotions and our thoughts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being so kind and loving and compassionate. And yet, you take our words very seriously. And yet, Lord, we don't count and measure the consequences of our conversations and responses to things. Forgive us this morning. I pray that every one of us will be helped by the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with our own tongues and conversations and responses. May the Holy Spirit restore each one of us and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.